today. We're singing about needing a divine appointment just for me, needing a miracle. Anybody need a miracle? Or know someone who needs a miracle? Well, let's just pray for miracles. Lord, we just come to You this morning and knowing that You are the awesome God who knows everything. You know every need that is represented here this morning. You know every problem, issue, matter, concern, everything that makes us feel desperate or hopeless or inadequate. And so, Lord, I pray this morning that You would address these things. This morning, speed Your help to each person and to each need, Lord. Cause things to happen that cannot happen by nature, that cannot be forced to happen by our own strength and means, Lord. Send answers to prayers. Give hope to the hopeless. Redeem circumstances that seem to have no redeeming qualities, Lord. Heal those who are sick. Even those who've had the death sentence pronounced upon them, Lord. Raise them up by Your resurrection life. We just pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now there's times when just don't feel very powerful. You don't feel very excited. Or you just don't feel like, well, you just feel tired, worn out. And I suspect that a lot of us might feel that way right now. A lot of colds and flus going around. And it's that time of year. You just come and dragging into March, ready for winter to be over and spring to come, but it's that in-between time and life is busy. And but you know, God doesn't, our feelings don't govern God. He isn't limited by all the things that limit us. In fact, we're encouraged to believe that it's in our weakness that His strength, His power is made perfect in us. That He delights, in fact, to reveal His capabilities right at that point where we discover our inability. So, sometimes it's good to just hang on. Just hang on. Hope. Lord, I don't feel like hoping today, but it is hoping in You anyway. I've kind of been preaching my way through Romans, up to Romans 5 this morning. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character, hope. Now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And much more than having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, speaking of Adam, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift, which came from many offenses, resulted in justification. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. And therefore, as through one man's offense judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You might notice that there are a pile of things in this one portion of Scripture that come to us through the person and through the work and through the agency of Jesus Christ. Just a whole mess of things that are listed in this chapter, that come to us through Christ. I have about a dozen of them listed out. And you could list a lot more if you go through the rest of Scripture, but just in this chapter. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know if you have ever, I'm sure most of you have, but do you remember what it felt like not to have peace with God before you came to that realization, that assurance, that knowledge that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you to forgive your sins Did you have peace with God? Or did you sense that things were not well between you and God? I remember being, I guess David's not here, but I remember being David's age and laying awake at night, worried, what would happen to me if I died tonight? And I would pray, Lord, don't let a volcano come up under the house tonight and consume us, because I had no assurance in my heart that God would receive me. Don't ask me why I was worried about volcanoes. In some books you probably shouldn't read when you're a little kid, but we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. We have access by faith to God's grace. Very important word, access. We have access. We can get to God. We have an open door. We can reach Him when we need Him, which is all the time. We have salvation from God's wrath. Some of these things, of course, are closely related to each other. But we don't have to worry about God's wrath when we are in Christ. Outside of Christ, there's a whole world of people that should be worried about God's wrath. The Scripture says that they are children of wrath, and they are destined and appointed, if they do not turn from their sins and do not believe in Jesus, their destination is God's wrath. Through Christ we are reconciled to God by His death. We were far apart, and Christ brought us together, reconciled us. We are saved by His life. It's not just the fact that Jesus died on the cross 2,000 years ago to pay for our sins, but it's also that He rose from the dead. If you only believe in a Christ who existed 2,000 years ago, you have an incomplete, an inadequate, and ineffective faith. You need the Jesus who not only died, but rose again and lives today, and ever lives in heaven to make intercession for the saints. We are saved by His life, and we rejoice in God through Him. Through Him. We rejoice in God through Him. There's a whole world of people who have no rejoicing. They have lives full of sorrow and misery and disappointment and bitterness. They can't rejoice in God. If they believe in God at all, they're mad at God and blaming God for all the problems that they bring on themselves. But we rejoice in God. We have received the reconciliation through Him. I thought it was interesting that Paul, in writing this, speaks about that we are reconciled to God by His death, but then later talks about receiving the reconciliation. That there is a reconciliation that God has done for us, but then there is our part where we need to receive the reconciliation. And the example that came to my mind was back in the 1960s and early 70s, if young men wanted to avoid the draft because they're afraid of going into the army and serving in Vietnam, which was a distinct possibility if you were a young man back then. It didn't happen to everybody, but it was a very distinct possibility. And some young men chose to avoid that by going across the border and hiding out in Canada. Well, after the war was over, the question was, what do we do about the draft dodgers? Do we forgive them and let them come home? Or do we continue to hold them guilty criminals who our government would continue to pursue with the Canadian government? Let's extradite them, bring them home, punish them. And my memory is fuzzy because I was just a teenager, current events, not all of them registered, but I think, didn't we give them amnesty? There was a general amnesty declared for most of them. But what if some of them chose to stay, as some did? They liked it better up there, or didn't trust the government. So they did not receive their amnesty. The amnesty was declared, it was offered, but they didn't come home to receive it. Well, there's a reconciliation that has been provided for us, that we can be reconciled with God. We receive that when we come to God through Jesus. If you don't come to Jesus and you don't receive your reconciliation, it won't do you much good. The grace of God and the gift by grace comes by Jesus and abounds to many. And by His obedience, many are made righteous. And we reign in life by Him. We don't just exist. We don't just get by. We don't just eke out an existence. We reign in life through Him, or we ought to. And through His righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. Now, there are some big theological terms thrown in all through Romans, especially when you get to this word justification. But what Paul is saying, among other things, is that when Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for us and was raised up to life again, that justifies God in doing the things that He does. That justifies God. Eternal justice is satisfied with the things that God does. If God simply allowed us to exist, but never made any provision for our sins to be paid for, and yet still accepted us into His kingdom, that would be a breach of justice. God could not continue to be a holy God. The devil would have justification for saying, God, you're not being God. And I'm sure that the devil came to God many times with that accusation in all the generations before Christ. You ought to wipe these people out. How can you stand their sin? How can you bear with them? How can you allow them to exist? Get rid of them. And God said, no, I have a plan. And when that plan is fully unveiled, you will see that justice is fully satisfied, and I am fully justified in giving grace to whomever I give grace. Well, none of these things. I just covered one paragraph of my notes now, and there's five pages here, which is, as you, if you've been around, you know that's a short message here. This. Well, none of these things are possible by our own merits, our own accomplishments. We can't buy our way into God's favor. We can't work our way into His grace. We can't get access by anything we do, anything outside of Christ. We're completely indebted to Him. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. We have a problem. It's our legacy, our heritage. It's our spiritual genetic. Has passed down to us from our forefather Adam. It's called the sin nature. Adam chose to live according to the nature of sin. And if you just imagine, I don't have PowerPoint for you, but you just imagine big letters up there, S-I-N for sin, and then S would stand for selfish, and I-N, the first two letters of independence, selfish independence. It's kind of the nature of sin. I want to live for myself. I want to be independent from God. And that's what Adam chose to do. And when he made that choice for all of us. Whether that seems fair or not to you, that's the way it is. Nature, that nature is passed down to us, and so we all sin, and therefore we all receive the consequences of sin, which is death. And Paul says that even those who were not subject to a guilty verdict under the law, because there was not yet a law given, even those were subject to death. And even those individuals who maybe, possibly, did not choose to rebel against God the same way Adam did, even those individuals were subject to death because the sin nature was still present. They may have lived their whole lives with noble intentions and desiring to do what was right, and maybe they never actually sinned. And they were still subject to the penalty of death because they had a sin nature. That's just what we get. So we can't do this by ourselves outside of Jesus. There's lots of people who are trying to obtain peace with God, trying to justify themselves, trying to get assurance of what comes next in the afterlife by means other than faith in Christ. There are people who are trying to follow moral codes of living, trying to achieve moral perfection. even though Paul has just said you can't do it, it doesn't work, you're still subject to the consequences of the sin nature. People try to enlighten themselves with philosophies, just kind of enlighten themselves right out there until they've enlightened themselves right out of existence, if they could. And people who take comfort in religious rituals over and over again, performing rituals that are completely ineffective. Because all these efforts are doomed by the overwhelming deficiency, this genetic deficiency we have called sin. It's kind of like trying to be a bird. You can go out and flap your arms as much as you want, try to fly. And you could try and try day after day. You can try to perfect your method, try to get better at it. If I can just figure it out, you can even strap elaborate structures to your arms and jump off a high building and maybe glide for a ways. But you're not a bird, and you'll never fly by natural means. Just not equipped for it. If you're going to fly, you need a jumbo jet under your hind end. You need supernatural means. You need Jesus and everything He's done for you. The sin nature, all you're going to do is crash and burn. The grace of God comes along, doesn't just catch you, doesn't just bear you up a little. It does much more. It abounds till you reign in life. It gives you peace, gives you access. It saves you, reconciles you, makes you righteous, enables you to reign in life. It justifies you. It carries you all the way through to eternity. Oh, how He loves us. Sang about it, talked about it. Oh, how He loves us. Just look at this grace. It was when we were without strength, when we were helpless, when we were ungodly, that's when Christ died for us. Laid down His life to make provision for our lives. It wasn't when we got it all together. It wasn't when we did it all perfectly. It wasn't when we finally figured out the formula, the 10-step plan for success in life. Then God came. No, it was when we were helpless and sinful and unlovely and ungodly in every way. God showed His love for us. Don't ever, ever, ever let that lie come around that says God doesn't love you. He has proven His love. Christ died for us when we were the worst of the worst. You know, if there was ever going to be anything that we could do that would make God stop loving us, then God would have said, you know what? It's not worth it. I'm not going to do it for these people. But that didn't happen. He never changed his plan. This was his plan. From the foundation of the world, he knew what he was going to do. He knew how bad we were going to be, and he was still going to do it. He knew all about our sin. And he said, you know what? I am willing to take all of that upon myself on the cross. Because I love them. Now, we can compare that with our own willingness to love one another. You know, would you die for your worst enemy? You know, when we get in a little snit with someone sometimes, we won't even walk across the room and shake their hand. But God was willing to give His only begotten Son. It's no wonder that Paul says later in chapter 8, if God is for us, who can be against us? If He's given us His Son, will He not also give us all things with Him? And that's exactly what God has done. Given us all things with Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, all, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. He has blessed us. Every spiritual blessing in Christ. And that's a truth we need to meditate on sometimes. Just to feed our faith on the character of God. Just to feed our faith. God is not like us. He's not fickle. He's not changing His mind all the time. He's constant. He's steadfast. He's always keeping His word. He's always intent and willing to bless us everything in His Son. Don't get nervous about the time. Only coming up to 11 o'clock here, according to that clock, so. Another hour to go. You know, there's more here. We talk about the grace of God. The grace of God not only redeems us, but it redeems our circumstances, the circumstances of our lives. It gives our lives meaning and purpose. Puts hope into our lives. We need a lot of hope in these days. If you're looking for hope from President Obama, or if you're looking for hope from the candidates on the other side that are running for president, or if you're looking for hope from whatever, science, medicine, looking for hope from a new job, or maybe if I move to a different town or something, those things are pretty limited in what they can do for us. Christ gives us hope. Just think for a moment about what if there was no Christ? And what if the evolutionists were right? And we just all evolved by chance from the primordial goo. Just evolved. Well, what that says is there is no meaning or purpose to life then. Because there's no one to give it meaning or purpose. There's no God, then He didn't create it for any reason. There's no reason to existence. And there's certainly, then there's no reward in heaven, there's no punishment in hell, there's no justice in the universe. It comes down to it's just dog eat dog, survival of the fittest, and might makes right. And get it all now while you can. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. That's why suicide rates are so high today. People have no hope. It's a philosophy that's called nihilism, because basically it annihilates all your hope. And if nihilism is the ultimate truth for people, then they realize there's no reason for living. Why should I go on? Why should I care? Nothing has any value. And so their answer is to kill themselves and sometimes take others with them. But with Christ, we have meaning and purpose, the expectation of victory, and the hope of eternity when everything gets set right, all sorrow, all suffering comes to an end. In fact, in Christ, we can have so much hope, we can even glory in our tribulations, which seems a contradiction. How can you glory in tribulations? But we can see that no matter how painful they might be, and some of them are painful, they have a redemptive purpose, something is being accomplished through them that prepares us for eternity. We're gaining perseverance, gaining character, reinforcing hope. Hope does not disappoint because we experience something that the rest of the world doesn't have a clue. We have the presence of God within us, the Holy Spirit given to us. And the Holy Spirit is shedding abroad, springing up, spilling out, fountaining up the love of God in our hearts. In fact, we find that we can even love our enemies when it's the love of God working through us. And we have access. I'm starting to really love this word access. We have access to this grace in which we stand. Just think about, do you always have access to people in power and authority? The movers and shakers, the people you need to get a hold of to get things done? Isn't it kind of frustrating when you need to get a hold of somebody and you can't? You just don't have access? You know, and think about access to people like senators and governors and the President of the United States. You know what? These people have, they have layers of protection against us, to deny us access. They have whole staffs of people employed to keep us separate, to make sure that they don't have contact with you and me. Except, of course, every 4 years when they come and they need our vote. Otherwise, they have the systems in place to make sure they are not disturbed by ordinary folks like you and me. But in Jesus Christ, we have access to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the God and Creator of the whole universe. We can bypass all those other levels, hierarchies, and whatever. Because God loves us, because Jesus Christ shed His blood on the cross for us, we have access straight into the throne room. Hebrews says we can come boldly, right in, audaciously, right to the King. Unheard of. There should be soldiers there with their swords and spears guarding access, keeping ordinary riffraff like us out of the throne room. And if you read all the regimented rituals of the law in the Old Testament with the priesthood, it was all designed to keep people out. Keep them from contaminating the holy place. Only the priest could go in. But now we have access. Come right to God. Any one of us, any time, go straight to Him through Christ. And that gives us hope. When the tribulations come, and they inevitably come in this life. Here we got one now, SOS. Tribulation on Mount Zion Church this week. We don't have to just sigh and moan and groan and get all hopeless and bitter and complain and whatever. We can hope in our God. We can take it straight to Him and find help. And even in those cases where God says, you know what? I'm not going to deliver you from this one. You have to go through it. Paul speaks about an affliction he had of his body. We don't know exactly what it was, different theories, but he went to the Lord three times earnestly, beseeching the Lord, take this from me. And you would think, Paul, boy, he was an apostle. He really was close to God. The Lord said, no. I want you to learn that my grace is sufficient. My power is made perfect in your weakness. So this one you have to go through. Sometimes that's the answer. But even when that's the answer, we can expect that He will help us to go through. He will be there with us. And as we learn from Romans 8:28, we can be sure, absolutely sure, that all things will work out for good. He will make everything work for good for those who love Him, those who are called according to His purpose. Not for those who get it all right. Not for those who do it all perfectly or figure out the exact right formula for success. That's not what it's saying. Simply for those who love Him. Do you love the Lord? Do you love Him? Do you believe that your life is called to have a purpose in glorifying Him? Welcome. Welcome to this grace. Welcome to access. Come on in. And it all comes to us through Christ, by Christ, in Christ. So just keep your hope in Him. Keep your confidence firm in Him. focus on Him. You cannot go wrong with Him. You can even glory in the tough circumstances when other people are tearing their hair out, or cursing and swearing, or launching themselves into some desperate act of self-preservation, or giving up on life altogether. You can believe that God is for you, and His heavenly resources are fully committed to bringing you through all the way to the end, all the way to His glory. Amen. Father, thank You. Thank You for Your grace in which we stand by faith. Thank You for providing all of this and yet more through Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, that You would encourage us this week in our circumstances, remind us often of how much we depend on You. And always, when we come up against our limitations, Lord, reveal Your glory, Your power, Your ability. Do miracles in our lives. And if You choose not to do miracles, Lord, supply in us all that we need to get through so that we see the good that You have promised. In Jesus' name, amen.